Hello, listeners. You are listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. With you, as always, is myself, the host, Zach Gandra. And, of course, as always, the immutable Steve Gandra.
It used to be inimitable.
Inimitable. Now it's immutable.
Immutable means I can't shut up.
Do you know that? You know that that immutable thing happened accidentally last time?
Yeah, but it stuck, right?
It's just stuck. It kind of works out.
Yeah,
it's kind
just
of this,
keep it off social media. Keep it off social media.
The immutable Steve Gandra. Steve, do you want to tell the listeners about... we had an exciting development today. We got the first printed copy of our new transformation curriculum. What are we calling it? I mean, we have a title on it.
Achieving Excellent Cultures.
Achieving Excellent Cultures.
Yeah, we took all of our 37 years worth of experience in helping businesses change their cultures and packed it into a two-day workshop that's really pretty exciting.
Two-day workshop, yep.
Yeah, all of our pilots have gotten all fours and fives on the reviews from participants. So,
and that's out of five, out of ten.
Yeah,
right?
Out of five, not out of ten. That tells us that folks are really learning how to implement changes in themselves and their organizations in a positive way.
Yeah, we've had fun, you know, narrowing down a lot of the things our psychologist friends and team members have continued to tell us over the years about performance psychology and how to help one another get better and transform. And then we've added our cultural transformation kind of expertise in there, and it's gone really well.
Battle scars. Best way to learn how to do something and remember it forever is do it wrong and have it be very painful in the process.
So are you saying that for the last 30 years we did it wrong and
we just figured it out? Let's just say we made a whole lot of mistakes.
And
our clients helped us figure it out.
They did. All of you guys are an invaluable aspect
very
to what we're doing and what we're putting together. So
we have a great guest coming up today.
Yeah. Do you want to introduce him?
Well, Daryl Campbell is the CEO of Goodwill Industries of Seattle. And I don't know, listeners, typically you're used to us having a guest on the show from a for-profit business. Daryl comes to you from an educational background, which he will tell us about, running a great community college, and is new to the Seattle Goodwill organization. Occasionally, we run across a nonprofit organization that just has an awesome culture, and our client Michael Fox down at Goodwill at Goodwill of Silicon Valley,
right,
in California,
right,
who we spent a lot of time with doing lots of work on, you know, helping them make their culture very high performance, had been talking to us about this Goodwill organization in our own backyard. So we were talking to Daryl's predecessor for, 4 or 5 or 6 months, working on trying to get him on the show. And then he decided to retire on the heels of an illness with his wife. And I got to talking to Daryl the other day. And what a great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy, great idea. We wanted to have him on the show to talk about the great culture that they have there at Goodwill of Seattle.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, Daryl. We're glad you're here.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's really great to be with you.
You know, Daryl, with a guy from a background in education, you know, a shift into the world of the multifaceted aspect of what Goodwill is. I want you in a second to tell everybody kind of, because most people just think of Goodwill as either a thrift store or a place that you go to make donations.
Right.
But the work that you guys do, you know, for helping people get jobs and learn jobs and find jobs and become effective at, you know, in the workforce is phenomenal.
It truly is. And you're right. We're very well known for our retail stores and our thrift operations, and the fact that anyone can donate virtually anything to us, and we will accept it. But really, the magic happens with the mission. We've been doing that here in Seattle for now, it's hard to believe, but it's over 9 decades. We're in our 91st year.
Wow, 91 years through work.
Yeah, it really is hard to believe. And as you say, we help low-income individuals who have barriers to employment get the training that they need to become employed and then achieve economic self-sufficiency. That's what it's all about. And these are folks who are really hardest to serve, and we help them develop and envision their possibilities and help them move along a pathway till they get to what I call the gateway to their own American dream, and really allow them to access it. Because at the end of the day, all of us want the same thing. We want a job, we want a paycheck, we want to take care of ourselves, and we want to take care of the people who depend on us. So we do that through the management and operation of our social enterprise, which is Seattle Goodwill. We do that by a community partnership that we have with virtually, well, so many folks in this community, not only in Seattle, but we serve five counties. Seattle Goodwill serves King County, Snohomish, Skagit, Whatcom County, and Kitsap County.
Wow.
So we're a lot bigger than just here in Seattle and in King County area. But we take in other people's stuff. They are very gracious in donating it to us. And we put that out into our retail stores. And we also have an online store that is that has done extremely, extremely well in e-commerce. So we take the net proceeds from the sales of all of those donations, and we put every dime of that back into supporting our free job training programs. And that's a really important thing to point out, that all of the services that we offer the students that we have here, they're offered free of charge. They pay absolutely nothing for the services, the classes that they receive. So it is an extraordinary organization. I am so proud to be here. I've just crossed over my third month, and boy, it's a special place, and I couldn't be happier.
Well, your predecessor, Ken, was telling us about some of the great things that you are doing, and I don't know if our listeners understand that well. You know, we think of Goodwill as this international or global or at least American brand that is all about, you know, the thrift stores and the donation sites. But I don't know if anyone realizes that kind of each Goodwill is their own mini organization within the global brand. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. There are 165 Goodwill organizations across the country, and
wow,
there are several that are international as well, in Canada, in Finland, of all places, and some new Goodwills that are actually going into China. So this is an idea and a concept that is truly global in its appeal, and I think it's in its importance. We are autonomous. We do have a wonderful organization in Goodwill International that we work closely with. They do a lot of work on behalf of all of the Goodwills across the country, and their support is truly, truly invaluable. So we do maintain very close association with Goodwill International, but we do act autonomously, and that's important because Goodwills across the country need to be responsive to their local communities. And it really serves us well to be given the freedom and the latitude to do that.
So, Daryl, tell us how many stores do you all have under the Goodwill Seattle umbrella now?
Seattle Goodwill operates 24 retail stores, as I said, through five counties, and one online operation. We do a wonderful business in our online arena. And I think, you know, one of the things that marks Seattle Goodwill over the past 10 years is how rapidly we've expanded and gone from 10 stores to 24 in just over a decade. So the growth has been really phenomenal, and the opportunities have been tremendous. And what we're able to do now is put more dollars back into the communities that we serve in providing free services, free support, and job training for the people that we serve.
Yeah, very, very efficient business that all funnels back into helping people get jobs and gain employment and stay employed. What a wonderful work.
Absolutely.
So with your background in education, tell our listeners a little bit more, because rarely do we get a guy who has served in a senior leadership position in a higher ed organization that makes the shift that you did. What in the world was it that made you decide to move from higher ed into the nonprofit world of serving the underemployed?
You know, it is pretty interesting, and it is unique. It's certainly unique for Goodwill. But when you think about the mission of higher education and the mission of Seattle Goodwill, there really is a lot of alignment. I came to Seattle Goodwill after an 18-year career in higher education in a number of different capacities. Most recently, I was the interim president at Shoreline Community College. Prior to that, served as its vice president for administrative services for 5 years, and then 7.5 years as vice president of finance and administration at a small, very progressive college back east in Vermont called Goddard College. You know, I have had just a magnificent career working with students and witnessing firsthand student success and how important that is to them and how important that is to our communities and our nation. And it's an extraordinarily rewarding career. But the opportunity to come to Seattle Goodwill offered me even more opportunity to make a difference, because the folks that we serve are often those folks that are forgotten in society. And when we look at our world today and see the erosion of the middle class and how we've really lost some golden opportunities to create the strongest possible communities, to have the opportunity to come to what I think is one of the strongest and best positioned organizations to actually make a difference in doing that work, it was just too good for me to pass up. And you know, I'm coming in with a lot of background, particularly in the Washington State Community College system, which is one of the best in the country, recognized actually worldwide for its academic quality. And in that, there are some wonderful opportunities for Seattle Goodwill to create partnerships with all of the colleges, community colleges that are in our region, Western Washington, and the region that Seattle Goodwill serves, through programming, through serving students who the community college systems find it difficult to serve. And so in doing that, we can open up even more pathways and more opportunities for students to grow, to advance in their skills, to get good livable wage jobs, and to support their families.
Amazing. We got to go into our first break, guys. We're going to be right back with Daryl Campbell from Seattle Goodwill right after these messages. You're listening to Business Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better, that politics crush people, innovation and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure? You don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
You're back with Biz Culture Matters, Business Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and ExcellentCultures.com. Steve, we are talking with Daryl Campbell from Seattle Goodwill. And you guys just went through the first segment of the show. If listeners, if you're driving down traffic on whatever freeway is in your local town, I-5 for us, and you missed the first half of the show, maybe you didn't realize that Goodwill is far more than just a place to donate to and a place to drop off your unwanted items, and Goodwill will make good use of them and produce an income of one shape or another. But they're actually doing amazing things with training people for jobs, creating sustainable income and work for people all over our country and really all over the world. Daryl, I'm pretty familiar at least with a couple of your facilities in the Seattle area. And in case listeners have not noticed, there's a large brand new building just by your guys' Goodwill, a huge Goodwill right down there in almost downtown Seattle off Rainier and Dearborn down there. Tell us a little bit about the new building, and I highly suggest that if you're like, oh yeah, Goodwill, I still don't know what they're like, you can just see on the building, the learning center they built, what they do and what they care about.
We are so proud of this facility for so many reasons, but first let me invite all the listeners, please come down whenever you're in the Seattle area, stop by and take a look around this building and see what we do. It is right next to what is, in fact, the largest Goodwill in the entire country.
Oh, wow.
And
I didn't realize
I'm not
that.
Sure that a lot of people know that.
Yeah, I didn't know
that. No, we didn't know that.
That's an extraordinary experience in and of itself.
But and this, Macklemore filmed part of his music
and
video
Macklemore,
there.
exactly. So priceless
yeah.
Marketing, right?
It's a tour stop.
But the Job Training and Education Center and Administrative Support Building, it is a beautiful gold LEED building that that went online in April of 2013, so we're not even 2 years old in this building yet. And this houses all of our administrative hub, if you will. It houses all of our job training and education administration, except for those that are located in job training and education centers around our region, which there are 10. And it also houses classrooms where we do training, education, all different varieties. And it is state-of-the-art, and I do encourage all your listeners to come down and have a look, because it really will take your breath away. And all on one floor down a long hallway in which you see so many of our students every day working so hard to improve their lives, to learn, to grow, to develop skills, and working closely together. It is it's a beautiful thing, just even to see how diverse our student body is, and to see the facilities in which they have the opportunity to work and to learn, which of course is such an important thing for people who really want to learn. The environment in which you learn is pretty critical. So the smartest technology that's available, so many things even working in higher education that I've never seen put to use in the classroom, from smart boards to smart technology, and everything is state of the art. So we're very, very proud of it. Any opportunity that we get to show it off, we love to do that, and awesome. And everyone is invited to come down.
So, about how many people do you employ full time, Daryl, right now? And then, how many people do you help become employed? Let's say a year in their first time positions.
So, we employ just under 2,000 people throughout our entire network.
Wow,
and
a lot of people
within our stores, job training and education, et cetera. I know, it's astounding.
Wow.
It really is. And the people that we serve, last year, we served over 12,000 people in one way or another. And we do that in a number of different ways. Everything from providing case management services to providing workshops, resume building, job searching, these kinds of things. We served over 3,600 people doing tax preparation so they could maximize their tax refunds and put more money in their pockets. We placed over 850 of our students directly into jobs at an average starting wage last year of just over $11 an hour, and 105 people that we served enrolled in a community or a technical college. So
wow.
That approaches about 1,000 last year, and I can
wow.
tell you that we are already on a pace to
awesome.
Far exceed that
wow.
number this year.
Well,
because the need is so great.
Wow, so phenomenal. So we've heard fabulous things about the culture that, you know, your predecessor helped build, and now you're contributing to in a major way. Tell us, you know, as you know, we're doing a series on cultures of ethics, values, and employee engagement. Mm-hmm. Daryl, what's your vision for a culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement with the 2,000 people that you lead?
I'm so privileged to come to this organization and to walk in and find what is here. Such an incredibly strong culture where leaders have really established clearly the values that they embody, and then they walk that talk. They demonstrate that every day. So there's alignment in that, you know, here's what I say and here's what I do. And I think that that's really critical, because I think people want to work for an organization where they feel that their work matters, where they know and they understand how and in what ways their efforts support the mission, that they are assured of honesty and transparency from their leaders, especially transparency in decision-making. Not just that they have the opportunity to be involved in decisions, because that, you know, may not be practical, but that they understand how decisions are made. And in terms of employee engagement, you know, I think it's reciprocal. And the way that I've looked at employee engagement is to sort of set the word employee aside, because to me that suggests that it's a one-way street. A person who works in an organization is an employee, that's true, but they're really a whole person. And that whole person comes to work every day and brings all aspects of that person to work. It's not a reality to consider it a one-way street and expect that folks are going to line up behind the mission of an organization. And for a place like Seattle Goodwill, that is essential. That's absolutely essential, because we depend on every single person every day to manifest their very, very best in support of the mission. This is not an easy thing to do. The folks that we serve, as I said, have extraordinary challenges, and we ask people to bring their best to help support them. But we bring our best to them as well, and they know that they can depend on us to be straight with them, to communicate, to be honest and transparent. For me, employee engagement and a culture that is ethical and has the strongest possible values, for me, has always been about consistency. Consistency in what you ask of people and what you demonstrate yourself.
What a great way to describe it. So it sounds like you're not even paying attention to employee engagement. It's human engagement that we're dealing with.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to describe it.
Yeah, it's human engagement, and it sounds like you're serving a huge cross-section of humanity, from those who need help in becoming gainfully employed and staying gainfully employed, to those who are all about being gainfully employed and serving those who aren't, as well as your donors and your retail customers and just a huge cross-section of the population.
I think that's exactly right, and it is a story that is not only worth telling, but it's worth living every day. And if you walk around any one of our stores, and I have had the opportunity already to visit all 24 of our retail locations and spend time with members of the staff in each of those stores, and I can tell you that their passion for what they do, their passion for the mission of Seattle Goodwill, is really palpable. And without that, You know, without that on the front line, we can't make the impact happen at the end of that line, where the outcome is about supporting people and helping them to achieve and build their skills and get jobs. So, you know, for us, that is essential. The culture that we all embody here is critical to our mission. We internalize that, and we demonstrate that every single day. I'm used to having come into organizations where things needed to be fixed. And this is the first time in my long career that I have not seen a need to do that. And I have to say, as you mentioned, Ken Colling, my predecessor, I think, you know, Ken's legacy is wrapped up in that. And his work here was extraordinary and continues to be. It continues to resonate.
Well, Ken was a really great guy, and he, you know, just a great leader and contributed a huge amount to the organization, which just you coming in on the heels of a guy like that, I can imagine how folks at the beginning were wondering, you know, where's this new guy coming from,
mm-hmm.
and what's he going to do differently? But it sounds like the adaptation happened very quickly, especially since you took the time and energy to go out and visit 24 stories in a hurry.
Yeah, it's to me that was one of the most important things that I needed to do and wanted to do from the outset. And I think that is reflective of my leadership style and wherever I have been, you know, to be connected. I think it was Woody Allen who said, you know, 80% of success is just showing up. And there is so much truth to that
yeah.
in business, and I have found that to be true. And to take the opportunity, as I said to all of the staff members, it's that, you know, a customer or a student's first interaction is with those folks who are in our stores. And if that first or second interaction doesn't work on that end, it's the impact is not going to be felt
yeah.
at the other end. And so everything that those folks do for us and everything that they do for our customers and our students is so critical to our being successful. And so for me to really touch that, to go and visit those folks, to sit and talk with them, to find out what they do, what's on their mind, what's working, what's not working, and then to let them know I am always available to any of them for ideas, for criticism, for compliments, whatever it is that they have to say, and they know that they can pick up the phone or stop by, and I will make time for them. I think that's critical, especially for an organization like Seattle Goodwill that is all about the people that we serve.
This is amazing. We're already through our second half, or second part, and we need to go into our next break, so I got to cut you off right there, and Steve's going to open us up on the next segment after the commercial. But remember, you're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and ExcellentCultures.com. We'll be right back after the break.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better, that politics crush people, innovation and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure, you don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people. using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
We're back with Biz Culture Matters and ExcellentCultures.com on Clay 1180 AM. And today we're talking to certainly the most passionate leader we've interviewed on the show in a long time. We can feel his energy coming through the radio waves.
If you listen to that last segment, he's 3 months in, and we've had a hard time nailing him down to get him on the show because he's connecting with the team.
He's got a very gifted assistant who has a wonderful time juggling his schedule.
Yeah.
So, he's really the boss.
Yeah, I know. Now we know that you really know what you're talking about with a comment like that, Daryl. So anyway, Daryl Campbell from Goodwill of Seattle is sharing with us his perspectives. And in the last session, we heard about the importance of showing up. And somehow I feel like if a leader just showed up, but they didn't have as much passion and as much energy and as much transparency as Daryl, that's probably the other 20%, right, Daryl?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the passion and the energy and the transparency. Way to go.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So where have you seen, I mean, you've been around organizations for a while, and you know, you've led an educational organization, an institute of higher learning. Where do you see this good culture that you espouse? Where does it start to break down in an organization? What are some of the trouble signs that leaders should watch out for?
You know, I look at it now as a privilege to have worked in some really, really difficult circumstances. Private for-profit organization several years ago, where I came in to a culture of mistrust and favoritism and had to work to turn that into a culture of openness and accountability and even innovation. And in higher education, I look at it as a privilege, though I wouldn't have named it that years ago, to work with an institution that was on the verge, literally on the verge of closing its doors because of extreme financial difficulty, and then figuring out how to turn that around by reinventing the business model and then working closely together with folks. You know, where it breaks down, I think, is where people lose touch with those values that we were talking about earlier, where leaders get too comfortable. And let me be clear, I think this starts right at the top. Success can be driven from the top, be that a board or a CEO or senior leaders, but so can disaster and disconnect, if you will. So folks sometimes get too comfortable. They ride the wave of some success, and things go well, and they stop paying attention to the little things, to the things that matter, to the things that got them there. It's where that focus shifts from us to me, and then you see silos develop. Very recently at Shoreline Community College, you know, we went through a period of prolonged financial struggles, being a public institution. And from 2008 until about 2013, to lose about 30% of operating funds.
Wow.
That came from the state.
Wow.
So
you
can just imagine the toll that takes on an institution and its people, especially those that are in the business of serving others and growing others and helping them to succeed. And at the same time, there was some erosion of trust in the president's office. And I think there are a number of reasons for that. But one of them is a disconnect in terms of communication. So those things that are allowed to happen and where attention is focused elsewhere can certainly contribute to the deterioration of that value system that we talked about. You know, the funny thing is it's not it happens before you know that it's happened. And so the need to stay focused and to stay focused on the right things and to be really clear about your values as a leader and to make sure that you are accountable to your organization. That is, I think, one of the ways that I've been able to avoid that or to turn that around when I've encountered it in any of the organizations that I've been part of. In fact, one of my best practices is what I call the CEO's performance evaluation that I ask for from all of my senior leaders and middle managers, that they do an annual evaluation of me and feed that back so that I can learn where I'm doing well and where I'm not doing well and where I need to improve. And I have to tell you, that's been one of the most valuable activities that I've deployed in the organizations that I've been part of. And I've been very appreciative of the frankness and the honesty with which those folks have fed back information to me, and it's made me a better leader.
So we're hearing some great what we would call cultural buzzwords. And, you know, we hear so many leaders talk about values and the importance of values and transparency and open door policies and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But what I hear you saying, Daryl, you know, for some reason, just the heart with what you say it, your tone of voice, your passion tells me that, you know, this isn't just the values that are printed on the corporate website. This is the values that you hold in your heart, that you hold near and dear to, and you're willing to be held accountable to yourself by the folks that would call you their leader, which is a very, very rare, a very rare characteristic that we find in so many of the leaders that we have the opportunity to connect with and talk to.
I think you've called it right. That for me is what works, what has helped make me successful in what I've done. And I don't know how you can really lead people without it. You know, we all make mistakes. We all are fallible in different ways. So the opportunity that one has to be in a leadership position is really, at least in my mind, a privilege. And it is one that is earned every single day. It's not an entitlement. The disconnect happens when it starts to become the entitlement. And that does happen, and I can understand how it happens. You know, success is, it's often, you know, a bit of a poison in that way, in that it starts to take over and then sort of change one's mindset, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you're off track, and not being consistent with values. So for me, it is about a way of life in business and a way of life in leadership. What I love to do, and the reason I do what I do, is because it gives me the opportunity to help people grow, be that students, be that the people who I work with, the people who work for the organization. We all have opportunities to learn from one another, and if you are truly a learning organization, and I would say that in my career, I have been entrenched in learning organizations, and am once again here in Seattle Goodwill, it's imperative that you lay yourself bare that way, and you are transparent, and you do present a very human side. Because as I said, we're employees are whole people; they are the humans that that we call our work families every single day. And so, I think it's really important, and it's been important for me to think about the world of work in that context. And I've been very fortunate to have amazing people work with me and for me, And I think that the opportunities that they've had to grow and that they've taken to grow have largely come out of that kind of a culture.
Well, what's really interesting is you're kind of, we hear you preaching to the choir, if you will, because most of the time we spend so much time training and developing and coaching the leaders that we've had the opportunity to serve over the last 37 years and helping them identify this disease of me, where all of a sudden, before we know it, we've slipped into this default drive where it's all about me and we have a culture of self instead of a culture of service. And rarely do we even recognize it happens until the next thing we know, something implodes and it's all on top of us. So what would be really interesting if you could share with our listeners, especially, Daryl, in light of this, you know, these new Gallup employee engagement survey numbers showing that 70% of our American workforce is effectively, says on the confidential poll, they're not engaged at work. 18% this year said that they actually hated their jobs. And the most common reason for hating their jobs was hating their boss. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that what you're doing at Goodwill of Seattle, especially and even with, you know, underemployed folks, is just the opposite of that. You know, mm-hmm. what advice can you give to other leaders on how to make that happen and keep it happening?
Well, as a leader, to recognize that there's a problem, you know, as the saying goes, that's always the first step. And that is often difficult, to step forward and admit that there is that disconnect. And I keep coming back to the idea of values and cultural values and business values and the ethical practices that one employs in a work environment. You know, how to reengage folks. I would look at it from the perspective of that person who's working in that organization and ask, how does this work environment, how does this organization reflect me? And does it reflect me? Does it reflect the things that I care about? Does it reflect the quality of relationships that I want to have at work? Does it embody trust? Does it facilitate my trusting people? And all of those salient questions around, you know, critical values. But I think ultimately employees will disengage if they do not feel like their efforts matter and if they do not feel like the organization reflects them and the things that they care about. So I'm not surprised that over 70% of workers are feeling disengaged. It would stand to reason, given, you know, what you had just said, which is that, gosh, this is what we're talking about here is not the norm, but the exception. And so I think this is perhaps much more common than it certainly should be. But it isn't difficult to turn around. It requires some introspection on the part of leadership, and some toughness, I think, to step forward and say, "Hey, we've got an issue here. We've got disengaged folks, and even though the business might be going well, even though we might be making our numbers, and maybe even we're growing, we're not maximizing our potential as an organization." And so, I think for a leader to step forward and really understand his or her organization from the perspective of the employee, as it is processed through that employee's values and how that employee feels that the organization reflects him or her, I think that's really at the core of it.
Sounds amazing. Sounds amazing. We're kind of stunned by just, you know, listening to, you know, your perspective on how you don't just value these things but keep in touch with them.
Yeah.
And we hear, you know, in this day and time, especially a leader who is responsible for 2,000 people, we hear so few leaders who emphasize the value of walking the talk, mm-hmm. not just having the right words like you do. You know, it would be interesting to get more input from you when we have more time to hear your perspective. Because, I mean, this is the kind of things that our listeners really value and get a lot out of in terms of really making good things happen in their organizations.
Except that we got to take a break.
Oh, break time.
Okay.
And we want to honor Daryl's time because he had to get going back again at 3:30.
Shortly.
3:30. So we're going to take a break. We've reached our third and final break before the last segment of the show. And you have been listening with Business Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. And our wonderful guest, Daryl Campbell, President and CEO of Seattle Goodwill. We'll be right back.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list, done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull, and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better. That politics crush people, innovation, and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategy for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure, you don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
We're back with Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. We're interviewing Daryl Campbell, the president and CEO of Goodwill Seattle, hearing just an amazing story this afternoon of a great culture serving, you know, the whole community in the area of receiving donations and transforming these free will donations into jobs that save lives and improve lives. And make sure if you didn't listen to the earlier section of the show, you go back and catch this podcast at excellentcultures.com/podcast, because Daryl has given us some insightful best practices that any leader can grab hold of and implement very effectively in their organization. So, Daryl, as we're kind of closing out the show today, put your coach's hat on and share with our listeners, you know, your tips. I mean, what can you tell leaders today of how they can best implement in a real world of tough challenges and tight budgets and all kinds of changes going on in their organizations, the kind of practices that result in a culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement?
I'm glad to share a few that I have found really effective in the work that I've done. I mentioned one earlier. I talked about a CEO performance evaluation. You know, turn that on its head a little bit and ask your senior leaders and those who you work most closely with to evaluate you and give them the opportunity to do that in a way that is non-threatening, perhaps anonymous to some degree, but make that meaningful. You know, I think the most important thing, and if you asked me what's the one thing you would tell any leader, and that would be communicate. Communicate with folks. Tell them what's happening. Be open. Be transparent. You know, I have 2,000 employees, but I can communicate with every single one of them by email by pressing, you know, my enter key on the keyboard, and write it yourself. Don't have someone write a letter to them for you. Put it in your own words and in your own voice. But communicate. Be open, transparent. Tell them what's going on, but tell them why things are happening. That's really important. Another best practice, I think, is look for every opportunity to build an internal culture of opportunity. Folks want to grow. They want to learn. And even if they can't advance necessarily, and that's not possible in every organization, they can certainly grow and develop professionally and personally. Set clear expectations. Be clear in establishing goals and objectives, but then be really clear and consistent in how you make people accountable. Make sure that bar is high, but make sure that it's equal for everybody. And then the last thing, you know, it's really important. When you say yes to one thing, you're at the same time saying no to another. So if you say yes to someone's bad behavior, you look the other way, you're saying no to a whole lot of good things that you may want and need for that organization to thrive. And I've always found that to be really memorable for me, that saying yes and saying no, this happens every day. But remember, you're saying two things at the same time, and you've got to understand how that plays out.
It's really good.
I got to ask another question. I know we got to break quick. Mm-hmm. This CEO evaluation that you're talking about, is this something that you ascribed as a best practice that your people who would call you their leader actually evaluate you on?
Yes. Yes. I get folks together. We agree up front to the expectations that they have of me, and then once a year I ask them to evaluate my performance in terms of those expectations. And they get together, and they have met, and this has not happened here yet at Seattle Goodwill, but it will. But certainly when I was at Shoreline, I had folks come together and meet and do an evaluation and then write it up. They did not represent their individual feedback. They could do that if they wished to. And some of them did, mostly in one-on-one conversations with me, but they spoke as a group and they spoke as a team. And I can tell you I learned an awful lot from that.
Yeah. Wow. So managers, as you're listening, how'd you like to have a boss that you give him the performance evaluation instead of just having it go the other way?
Can we start that today, Steve, you and I?
We can start. We started it weeks ago. I thought we started it years ago.
We've been doing it.
You've never held back on any evaluations, that's for sure.
No, I should be the immutable. That
camera. You are the immutable. Daryl, thank you so much for being on our show. I mean, you've done a wonderful job. You know, our listeners are going to learn much from your feedback.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Awesome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
All right, guys, you got it. So go ahead and make sure that you get a chance, if you're in the Seattle area, to check out the Seattle Goodwill and their Learning Center building that they have just finished. Well, they're not even a year in, but it's a good place. You heard Daryl talk about it earlier in the show. You want to check it out. Check out all that Goodwill does. Look into your local charities and stuff, what they're doing. Make sure they're doing what needs to be done in the local community. And that's one of my favorite things, Steve, that I think Goodwill has stood for really well, is there's a lot of global entities out there that have a global vision but don't keep a local vision. And Goodwill creating autonomous Goodwills in neighborhoods has done a good thing. Do you agree?
Well, the way, you know, from the Goodwills that we've had the opportunity to serve in improving their culture, we've certainly found it that way.
Yeah.
We found that, you know, each Goodwill in each community kind of has their own identity and their own autonomy within the larger Goodwill mission of doing the kind of work that uses thrift stores as an opportunity to help the underemployed learn how to become employed,
right,
and stay employed,
yeah,
and serving a lot of people in a meaningful way, and not doing it by, you know, always asking, you know, give us your money so that we can do this good work.
I mean,
they found a way to turn people's junk into other people's treasure, and especially with their online stores that Daryl did.
Hey, my junk is always treasure.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Anyways, we're out of time, so we got to go. Everybody, thank you for listening. tune in next time, next week, next Wednesday. And as always, you can catch the podcast at excellentcultures.com. Send us an email. You got a question for Daryl Campbell, he'd love to shoot it back to you and shoot you back an answer, and we'll make sure that happens. And send that email out to asktheexperts@excellentcultures.com. And as always, the immutable Steve Gandra and Zach Gandra. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.